Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep, where is he? And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. No. I'll talk to D. Rose. Yeah, guys. Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy. Got it! Clean turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Matt, very excited for this episode, very excited for the rest of the week, and especially excited for next week where we've got the draft, we've got trades, we've got opt-ins, we've got free agency starting. It's going to be a whole whirlwind over the next 3 weeks, man. Before we get into all of that, and I know we've got plenty to talk about, man, I'm glad once again that for once this Reinsdorf team doesn't have bad headlines coming out overnight. If you want to learn more about that, go hit up Locked On Sox because they're having a PR nightmare with Jerry's other team right now. But how are you, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, man, I was going to ask you, how are you and your White Sox people holding up? I mean, that Tony La Russa hire just goes from looking good to great. Am I right? I mean, man, between his old man, you know, shakes fist at cloud takes about players voicing their opinions and using their platform for good and to speak out on issues they care about. And, a nice little DUI charge that was filed the day before the White Sox hired him, which apparently they knew about. Man, Jerry and his crew are just crushing it in the PR department, huh?
I've never yanked guys.
That guy, say whatever you want about that guy, but I have more respect at this point for that dude than I do for Tony La Russa. And Tony La Russa hasn't even managed a single game for the White Sox yet. And I have more respect after the shit show that was Jim Boylan. So, I mean, I just said it again to you before we started recording. Thank God, or thank whoever, thank the basketball gods, thank the sports gods, that this is not the Bulls for once, man. For once, it's not the Bulls. And I'm so thankful for that.
My favorite reaction to all this La Russa news is our pal Ricky O'Donnell, who co-hosts Cash Considerations, the Bulls podcast, also of SB Nation, who tweeted earlier today, Jerry Reinsdorf told Jim Boylan he was the Bulls CEO and it wasn't the worst person he's empowered in the last 18 months.
I'm not.
I did not see that. That is too good. Oh, man, that's too good. Let's get to some Bulls stuff, though. Go hit up Locked On Sox with Herb Lawrence and Chris Tannehill. They dropped an episode, I believe, this morning talking a lot about it. So they had their fun over the last couple of years in the excitement, and now it's their turn to deal with some criticism and some harsh realities like the Bulls have over the last couple of years. On top of that, too, Luis Robert didn't even win Rookie of the Year. So some crushing news for Sox fans yesterday, including myself. But let's get to some Bulls stuff, Matt. So we talked a lot yesterday about the Low Post podcast, about Jonathan Givony, Mike Schmitz as well. Their kind of reports that were leaking out from the Low Post podcast about the Bulls, whether they wanted to trade up to number one, if they're interested in that, and also some prospects, too, surrounding them and their names associated with it. I was curious if you had any follow-up from our conversation yesterday about it, and specifically maybe things we didn't talk about. One that I was keying in on was Markkanen being a quote-unquote untouchable. Did you buy that at all? Were you buying any stock into that, or do you think that's a classic case of a smokescreen?
Yeah, to me, my takeaway from the stuff we heard on that podcast about Lowry being the most untouchable piece and valuing him over Wendell Carter Jr. in a hypothetical conversation about the Bulls trading up to get LaMelo, my biggest takeaway was the other part of that conversation between that trio was them saying, and I think it was Zach Lowe who brought it up. Nobody knows what Chicago is doing. Chicago is so tight-lipped right now, and agents who represent players in this draft class say, I have no idea where my client stands with the Bulls. Other teams around the league have no idea who the Bulls are going to take or what they're trying to do on draft night. So to me, it was so satisfying to hear that, because just yesterday, Jordan, you and I were here talking about all these different hypotheticals of what might go down on draft night. And my biggest point that I was trying to make yesterday is none of us have any fucking clue. We don't know what the Bulls are doing because AK's playing everything so close to the vest. So, yeah, I think it's a smoke screen. Like, the one thing you might be able to bring up to say, well, maybe this is where that came from with regard to Lowry, is that we have heard the new members of this front office talk specifically about Lauri Markkanen and trying to figure out what went wrong with him this past season and trying to fix that. So clearly they think he is a kid that has talent and potential and that they would like to address that and see if they can get him back on the right track. That doesn't necessarily mean that you turn those phrases into, well, he's the most untouchable piece on this roster. No, I don't believe that. And I don't believe that because of the other part of that conversation, which was all of them basically agreeing nobody knows what Chicago's thinking right now.
It's a good point. I think that was something that stood out to me too, which was intriguing, because usually it's in the bad part of the conversation when the Bulls are being talked about as nobody knows what they're doing, or it's so obvious what the Bulls are doing that everybody's laughing at you, cough, cough, Chandler Hutchison, the promise at 22. Like, that point has gone completely now. It's every team is calling experts and saying, hey, what's Chicago doing? Oh, I'm hearing this. And then 30 minutes later, they pick up the phone and hear something completely different. Zach Lowe and Mike Schmitz and Jonathan Givony do a really good job of kind of breaking down the thought process too when you're hearing these rumors, which I thought was fascinating. And for fans who aren't diehard fans that have been watching this, and just maybe you're picking up our show for the first time and somebody's a casual Chicago sports fan, it's a great listen on what to believe, how much stock to buy into some of these rumors, and what the thought process and strategies are, the front office and coaching staff leading up to draft night in the offseason. One particularly, though, back to Markkanen real quick, Matt, what I thought immediately was, there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way he's an untouchable, because I would argue he's the third most valuable player on this roster right now. Kobe White and Zach LaVine are one and two, wherever you want to mark those guys. Those are the two guys that I would say, and I wouldn't even say necessarily Zach LaVine's untouchable. I would say Kobe White's probably the guy. He's probably the guy that I would say is the most untouchable in my eyes. What I was thinking what they were doing with Markkanen was saying, we got to drive the value back up on Markkanen. And so let's put it out there, like, we believe so highly in him that we're not willing to trade him to drive some of that market back up. Because if you're out there selling Markkanen to basically every team, that's going to drop the value of what you think he is and what he's worth in an actual trade. Combine that with the fact that he hasn't had, the past two seasons have been rocky for him, and he had a really bad season last year, really inconsistent. I think it's partially a move to try and drive up the overall stock of Markkanen, because I think it's dropped unnecessarily because of a bad season last year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do think if there's anything that's happening here, it is that the Bulls are maybe attempting to prop him up a little bit, trade value wise, because maybe they are interested in seeing what they could get for him, and if putting him on the offer table would be enough to move up. If it is true what we're hearing, that they really like LaMelo and are very interested in trading up to get him, but again, I only put so much stock in that because it's all hearsay at this point. It is true that Lowry's trade value right now is at an all-time low, and it's why I have never been a fan of the idea of trading him right now. At least give him the first part of this 2021 season to see if they can get him back on track. And if it doesn't look like it, and if they think, okay, this is who this guy is, then you look to maybe see if you can get something for him at the trade deadline. As opposed to just letting him walk after his rookie contract runs out, because I'm pretty sure that extension is not coming this offseason based on the fact that the Bulls are already a team over the cap, assuming Otto opts in the second he can. So again, I don't put a whole lot of stock into that, because I also don't think the Bulls have a ranking system of who is the most untouchable and who is the most tradable right now. To your point, I wouldn't necessarily disagree as far as Zach and Kobe being ranked higher than Lowry as far as the value on the roster, but I would make a blanket statement that nothing is an untouchable on this roster right now. No individual player on this roster is untouchable. You got no all-stars. You got nobody who is like on their rookie deal and clearly a future all-star in the making. Kobe obviously has value because he's still got a lot of team control years left on his rookie scale deal, and he looks like an exciting young piece. But you're a team coming off of a season where you finished 20 games under 500 with not even a, well, here's the best of the bunch on a bad team all-star. Nothing is untradeable. So I don't care if there is like whispers out there about the Bulls' new front office's tiers and ranking system of who is more or less untouchable.
I'm with you. No, I 100% agree. I think the strategy is good to look at it with an open lens and saying, no, nobody should be considered untouchable at this point. And I think it makes more sense too if you're really thinking about trading one of these guys, the part of the reasoning for me would be AK and Mark Eversley would rather trust the guy that they're going after and evaluating and scouting and drafting as opposed to taking on another project from a leftover front office. And that's not to devalue or discredit or the potential ceiling on guys like Markkanen, Carter, and Kobe White. It's just to say sometimes guys just want to trust what they have instead of having to deal with things that were left over. We see it all the time with new front offices in plenty of sports outside of the NBA. So I think that has a factor as well. But I do agree with you. I think that a lot of their strategy should be like nobody's untouchable at this point. If you guys want to have conversations about any player on our roster, we're willing to have those.
I agree. Jordan, we have a few more thoughts to get to on this topic as well as some mailbag on the back end of today's episode. But first, we wanted to tell our listeners about the new and exciting product from our friends at Built Bar. You know that we've been talking to you guys about Built Bar all year long, an amazing protein bar. Jordan and I, big fans. They're delicious. They're healthy for you. Great energy bar without all that crap you don't want. And now from the people who brought you Built Bar, there is Built Go. Break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall. Break through it with Built Go every day. Built Go comes in easy to take 1.5 ounce packages. You put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through that back nine, or put it in your pocket just to get through the day wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and my personal favorite, chocolate mint. How does Built Go work so well, you might ask? Well, Built Go combines every gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system quickly. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work or your workout, like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and just a little kick of caffeine. Built Go then keeps that drive going with B6 and B12. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So this stuff literally makes you look better, as well as giving you energy and making you feel better. And right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners, if they go to visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED at builtgo.com for 20% off. Let's go.
We studied the options, and we've studied the NBA, and we've studied the history of the NBA.
So a few more things on the Low Post podcast that I wanted to touch on quickly, Matt. Again, it's about an hour. It's almost an hour and a half conversation. If you haven't listened to it yet, go check it out. It's fantastic from two of the guys that I trust most. I've been reading their analysis, been following their coverage since I was in college, since they were in Draft Express before ESPN bought them. So I take a lot of stock into what ESPN has drove in terms of their coverage with Draft Express, with Gavoni, with Schmitz, and even Zach Lowe did a really great job of asking the questions I think every basic fan kind of wants to know and talking through those thought processes. But two prospects, Matt, that we've talked about recently that got brought up again with ties to the Bulls. Do you want to hear about Halliburton first, or do you want to hear about Hayes first? Your choice.
Let's go alphabetical, which is real close, but I believe Halliburton would come first.
Correct. All right, let's hear what they have to say about Tyrese Halliburton's value and where they ultimately think he's going to end up.
You guys have both written about how there's almost a stigma attached to Halliburton about how, well, he'd fit well on a good team. He'd make a good team better, as if that's like a bad thing, right? Because like, right. Is he a lead ball handler and all this? Gavone, is his range as wide as I'm making it out to be, or is it not as wide? Is it like Mike said, like that 4 to 9 or whatever?
I think that's what it is, yeah. Four to eight, you know? I mean, he's a guy that if somebody trades up maybe to like 3 or 4, whatever, he could be the one that they're targeting, you know? So I think that's, he's going in the top 10. You know, I also agree that he'd be a good fit for the Bulls. It doesn't sound like he's got as much traction there as others, but.
So that was interesting to me, is they haven't heard as much traction on Halliburton as they initially thought. Your thoughts on that? Do you buy much stock into that either? And I think I kind of tend to agree. And that's sort of what we talked about when we broke him down, was he's an older player, but a guy that could come in and make an impact right away. Now, does that fit the timeline of what the Bulls are trying to do here? And is he worth the number 4 pick in the draft? I'm not sure. What did you think about that?
Yeah, and this is a good teaser for the Locked On NBA shows, mock draft episodes that they'll have start rolling out, starting with the first episode tomorrow that will include our pick for the Bulls. So keep an eye out for that. And then Jordan and I will react with further detail explaining our pick. But this is a nice little teaser for that, because, you know, you and I talked in depth about Halliburton at some point last week, I want to say. And we talked about how he's a guy who could play on the ball or off the ball, could be a good fit to try and blend and see how he fits with Kobe and Zach and different backcourt looks, different three guard lineups. And certainly I think, you know, to your point, I agree, a guy who's a little bit older, a little bit more experienced, and you could plug him in and he could be a quality player right away. Maybe not quite as high of a ceiling as some of the younger guards in this draft class, but a guy that could make that impact right away. So is that a guy who is more or less valuable in the draft? I would say usually you see those players dip a little bit as teams swing for the fences kind of prospects. From the Bulls' perspective, I think right now this team is so in need of a star that I would rather see them swing for a guy who they think maybe has a little bit of a higher ceiling than Halliburton. But at the same time, like, I've seen Halliburton climbing up a lot of people's rankings, where a month or so ago it was, he's like mid to late lottery, maybe even just outside the lottery. And now people are talking about him going top 5.
I'm with you. I see a lot of people talking about him somewhere in that 4 to 8 range again. But then they even brought it up after that clip. They brought it up and said, man, I wouldn't be surprised if a team that's right on the edge of contending trades up into the top 3 to take him, if they're that concerned and they really want him. And I was like, that's weird, after you just said that he might fall in the 4 to 8 range. A team might get really nervous that, say, the Bulls want him at 4 and are like, we're going to take him here if you guys don't trade up into the top 3. I think the common theme I was getting throughout this podcast, Matt, was I think the Bulls are making a lot of teams really nervous, because they even said the draft starts at 4. They said there is a consensus around the league that somewhere in the top 3, it's going to be LaMelo, James Wiseman, and Anthony Edwards. That's just the way it's going to go. And it's different from what you think the actual breakdown of the top 5 players in this draft are going to be. It's not necessarily going to work out that way, where teams are going to take the second best player. Like, they were talking about Isaac Okoro being the 3rd best player in this draft, but say there's no way he's going in the top 5. And that's just the way it works out. That's the way that these drafts work out and the way teams draft. He could end up being the 3rd best player in this draft without a doubt. Same thing with Onyeka Okongwu. They had him as the 2nd best player in this draft, yet they said, I doubt he goes in the top 5 too. So all of those things, I think, are factors when you're talking about where guys are going in the draft compared to where they stack up ultimately of overall what you think they're going to be in terms of an NBA player. Halliburton would be a great pick, Matt, but again, like I said a couple weeks ago, I don't think it's worth taking him at 4.
Right, and I think what you and I were discussing last week when we dove deep on Halliburton was the idea that maybe we could both get on board taking Halliburton if you were able to trade down a few spots, collect yourself another asset, and know that he was going to be there. But again, you would have to be very clear and confident on the back end of that hypothetical of knowing he'll be there. Because I think if there's one thing that we're starting to feel we do know about how the Bulls are going to approach this draft, just because it has come from local sources who we trust, you know, most notably and recently Casey Johnson talking about this at length, is that the Bulls are going to target a lead guard, a point guard, or at least some kind of combo guard who can play some minutes as the primary ball handler on this team, as opposed to a big or a wing. If there's anything I believe out of everything we've heard, it's that, because it makes sense, because the Bulls need that. So if, you know, LaMelo's gone and they don't love Killian Hayes, or Killian Hayes is gone and Halliburton's the guy they want, can they maybe trade out of four if somebody else wants to trade up for, say, Wiseman if he drops, a Kongwu if he's still there, or some other prospect that the Bulls don't love, or maybe, you know, if some team wants to trade up for Denny, can you get yourself an asset while also securing the knowledge that he, Halliburton, will be there a few spots later on?
Keep Boston in mind when I play this clip. Boston and the Bulls potentially making a deal when I play this clip about Killian Hayes. This probably shocked me the most out of anything that I heard throughout the minute, the hour and 15 minutes of this podcast. Matt, I want to play it for you too and wonder if this has changed your thoughts on Hayes overall, or what the Bulls' strategy would be if that's the guy that they want to target. Take a listen.
Can you spoil where you have Hayes, or ballpark where you have Hayes, or do you not? Just him? I won't ask you to spoil anyone else, but maybe you don't want to.
I don't care. Yeah, he's at number 12 on the updated mock to Sacramento.
Interesting.
He honestly, Zach, talking to teams even behind Sacramento at 12, people have no idea where he's going. You know, you hear stuff from some of these teams that are in the late lottery, the mid first, the late teen. They say it's hard to find any one team who is absolutely in love with Killian Hayes. His range is huge. Now, apparently, two of the teams that really like him the most, I don't know if he's at the top of their board, but Chicago at 4, Detroit at 7. You do hear some chatter there that he's in the mix among 4 or 5 other guys. I don't know if he's going to get there. Maybe if there are scenarios where these teams trade down, maybe then he's the guy. But, you know, I wouldn't shock me if on draft night he fell out of the lottery altogether.
Wow. Like, that to me, like, I had to stop and re-listen to that and be like, holy shit, did they really say Killian Hayes fall out of the lottery potentially? And Matt, we've talked about this with prospects in the past too. Like, I know Michael Porter Jr. is more about his medicals than anything else, but look how far he slid. He slid all the way to 14 at the back end of the lottery because people were so scared. I wonder if this is a case of over-evaluating Killian Hayes, or just having so much time to evaluate other prospects and what the needs of teams are in the top 8 or the top 10, that this is why he is sliding so far down. What were your thoughts on this? Did you expect this at all? And does this make you feel more like the Bulls might even deal down and could end up with the guy that they actually wanted in Hayes and also gain a couple of assets in return?
I was also super surprised to hear that. I would be shocked if Killian Hayes falls out of the entire lottery. I think it's more likely that he goes top 5 than him falling out of the lottery altogether. It's weird that we're hearing a lot of different takes on people being really high on him, or people saying, eh. But again, I think that's the fluctuation of a player who's a little bit more of an unknown. You know, Halliburton is a guy who played at a pretty prominent program, you know, Iowa State, multiple years of evidence there. And, you know, Killian's a little bit more of an unknown international prospect, you know, grew up in France, played in the, you know, the German Bundesliga this past season as his most recent sample size of games, not a big sample size. And people, I think, see Killian maybe with a wider gap as far as floor and ceiling, where Halliburton, like, he is what he is. And I think that kind of goes along with what they were talking about with a player who you come in, you know what you're getting from him day one. Killian Hayes, I think, has a higher ceiling than Halliburton, but maybe also a lower floor. And that's why you hear such a wide range of you know, speculation on where he might end up.
If Boston wanted Onyeka Okongwu, And that's the guy that they're targeting and say, like, they're looking for their center of the future. They think he's going to be a recreation, at least defensively, of a Bam Adebayo. And they're like, we want to move up to four. Would you entertain an offer from Boston that included something of like the 14th overall pick and the 26th? And then, I don't know, maybe somebody from their roster as well. I'm thinking like a guy to buy low on, maybe like a Romeo Langford, somebody that would play into that system of Donovan, who what they were targeting in this draft. I know he hasn't had a great career so far with the Celtics. He was underwhelming at IU too, but a guy with a bunch of potential in high school too coming out. I don't know if that's a guy that Boston would be willing to deal. Also, too, another guy to be thrown into a deal that I really loved last year in the draft was Carson Edwards, a dude that's just a pure scorer, insanely awesome ball handler, a guy that could be thrown into a deal as well. Like, I think there is something to at least get the gears turning in terms of a deal with Boston that would make sense with the Bulls too. Is that too rich though? Is it too rich to move all the way back down to 14 and 26 for the Bulls and give Boston the fourth overall pick?
Well, maybe, but the other name that you might want to throw in there, and I know it's a little crazy, but hey, let's get crazy for a second. If you're talking about Boston really wanting to move up to that number four to get that guy, Gordon Hayward. And then maybe you're talking about more pieces exchanging hands, exchanging teams. But there's been so much talk recently about what the Celtics' plan is for Hayward. You know, he's been dealing with some injuries, but he's still, you know, still has probably 4 or 5 years of quality basketball ahead of him. His contract for 2021 is non-trivial, just over $34 million. He's got a trade kicker. He's got that 2020 player option, which, of course, you assume will be a yes. And then an unrestricted free agent after the 2021 season. Do the Bulls see him as maybe an answer for their issue at the wing that they've had for years now? And, you know, Otto can't stay healthy. Neither can Chandler Hutchison. Maybe the Bulls willing to sacrifice one of the pieces of their young core four if it means getting an established, you know, borderline star caliber player like Gordon Hayward. And maybe that somehow gets involved in a draft night trade discussion. What are your thoughts on that?
I think trading back into the first round makes more sense than swapping 4-14 and then trying to work Gordon Hayward into that deal. Like, if we're talking about a Gordon Hayward deal, it has to include Otto, right? Like, that makes the most sense. Boston feels like they have an upgrade in Otto, more switchable, can be a better, more reliable scorer than Hayward is. This, to me, would be the Bulls taking on a lesser asset, but also gaining something on top of that. And it would be a one-year shot for Boston. It clears the cap space for them after 1 year. So this is kind of them, instead of saying, all right, we're going to take on another project at 14, let's just upgrade right away and take our chances with Otto. And maybe there's a potential we even could re-sign him long-term, and he fits really well with the group of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and that's kind of how we want to run things. I think that makes more sense than maybe trying to find a deal that includes the fourth overall pick. Like, that would be, to me, that's exciting. I would be excited about that if the Bulls had the chance to pick at 4 and at 14. I mean, then you're talking about being able to take a shot on a lead guard like you were talking about, and also maybe even being able to grab a guy that you didn't think was going to be there at the back end of the lottery. Say a guy like Patrick Williams, who I know is rising up of everybody's draft boards, or maybe a guy like RJ Hampton, or a guy like Jalen Smith even, somebody who they've been in communication with. All of these guys, I think, are in play. Or maybe even Halliburton, man. Like, maybe Halliburton falls all the way to 14 and you get lucky enough to draft him there. I think all of that could definitely be in play. But don't you feel like a Gordon Hayward Bulls deal would have to include Otto? And I think it would be too rich to include the fourth pick, too. Like, any conversation around that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would probably include Otto. You know, there's some salary matching benefit to that. And I, like, I don't know. That was just like a wild speculation on my part. I haven't heard anything that the Bulls might be interested in Hayward. I was just saying, you know, as far as a roster needs standpoint, you know, like, you could throw out, you know, more ridiculous hypotheticals than that, because Hayward's future in Boston certainly seems murky. There are a lot of questions about what Boston's going to do about that, and the Bulls could certainly use a player of that caliber at that position. So,
I think it's a great hypothetical, honestly, because I think it makes the most sense. And for Boston, even, it makes the most sense. if you're trying to upgrade and you don't, and you have limited cap space to work with, like the only way you can do that is try to upgrade by trading. And I think there's only a few teams in the league that would be interested in Gordon Hayward in his services for 1 year. And I think the Bulls are one of those teams, even though we haven't heard anything.
Right. But you know, to me, the pieces hypothetically make sense. And again, we could see some wild, unexpected move and a big one from AK and his crew on draft night, because it goes back to what we started this episode talking about. We know nothing. Even the people who know more than we do, Jordan, and the people who are in the know with these circles of NBA executives and NBA player agents, just did a podcast where they all collectively nodded in agreement when one of them said, nobody has a freaking clue what the Bulls are about to do. And I think that's a good thing. That is such a refreshing thing. Like you said before, it is the opposite of, we're going to take Chandler Hutchison and everybody knows it.
It's a good point. It's a good point. The other thing, the last thing before we get out of here that was kind of tied to the Bulls a little bit, was the Knicks, and the Knicks specifically because of when they were talking about Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin having a ton of connection with Leon Rose. Leon Rose was the guy that scouted him going into college and has a rich connection with Obi Toppin, and that would be the guy that I think the Knicks would be targeting at 8 should he fall all the way there. But from their conversations on that podcast, it doesn't sound like Obi Toppin's getting past the top 5. The funny thing was, is like, this dude's, they were saying this dude's offense is absolutely unreal. And if it's, if he's projected to be out of the top 5, his defense must be absolutely atrocious, which again, that's why I don't think he's a great fit for the Bulls, especially at 22, going to be 23 going into the season. But it sounds like the Knicks would be all in on him, which makes me more intrigued about a deal if the Bulls were to move down as opposed to up, going down to 8 and also getting the Knicks' 26th or 27th overall pick. 27th overall pick makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know about you.
I mean, what makes sense to me is the Knicks wanting to trade up to try to get some splash landing in the draft and them thinking that Obi Toppin is that. I think that is so in line with classic Knicks kind of decision. But again, there are new voices of power in New York now. So maybe they aren't going to go that route. Maybe they're going to just say, okay, let's take the best player available when our team comes on the clock, and let's not try and overdo anything here on draft night. Because most often when they do those kinds of signings, it blows up in their face. When they make those kind of trades, when they make those kinds of draft decisions, it blows up in their face. So, I mean, I would love it if the Bulls could dupe the Knicks and the Bulls could feel good about getting a player they really want at 8, in addition to an asset, because the Knicks are desperate to move up to 4 to take Obi Toppin. If that happens on draft night, I'd be ecstatic.
100%, me too. I mean, then we're talking about getting your guy, one of your guards, whoever falls, whether it be Killian Hayes or Tyrese Halliburton at 8. And then you also have a chance to play back in this first round. And I mean, Matt, they have a second round pick too. You could even talk about combinations where you take 27 and 44 to try to move up to the middle of the first round. So I think that opens up a lot of things for the Bulls to be able to do on draft night. And again, I was very shocked to hear them say, we may see a lot of chaos on draft night where teams aren't making these decisions until they are on the clock, which, I mean, there's nothing more exciting as a basketball fan than to hear that there could be total chaos on draft night. And I am 110% here for it, Matt.
Me too. Just like I'm sure you're 110% here for the Tony Lewis to hire, right?
Oh man. I don't want to think about the White Sox. I don't want to think about the White Sox till March when I have to at this point. My sole focus is on this Bulls team, and hopefully the Bulls can provide a distraction from some of the negatives going on in Chicago sports, and we can be that. We can turn maybe this Bulls team into the number one focused team in Chicago. That might be being a little bit too positive, a little bit too optimistic, but I mean, the Bulls are certainly on the right path. So
Before, hey, real quick, speaking of that, Jordan, I mean, this just this Jeff Passan tweet just came across. So ESPN just got the full arrest report from La Russa's DUI charge. And here's a quote from La Russa as he was being pulled over to the police officer. Do you see my ring? I'm a Hall of Famer baseball person. I'm legit. I'm a Hall of Famer, brother.
Like, I'm half drunk right now from all the champagne, so I don't know how to act exactly, but...
Oh, man.
Oh. He was trying to talk his way out of a Dewey by showing a cop his Hall of Fame ring.
I mean, there's audio record. Have you heard the 2007 audio recording from when he was arrested?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, go listen to Locked On Sox. I'm glad they have to deal with that, and I don't. We don't have to deal with that to that scale anymore. But Herb Lawrence, Chris Dadehale, kill it. They're absolutely killing it over at Locked On Sox. Go support them. Go support the rest of our Chicago-based Locked On podcast. That includes Locked On Bears, Locked On Blackhawks, Locked On Cubs, and Locked On White Sox. Get your fix of all the teams every single day, and they're doing a great job, as well as here. I mean, Matt, we're talking about just a few days away from absolute chaos in the NBA offseason, and we're definitely here for it. Hit us up with your thoughts, though. 331-979-1369. We're going to do mailbag probably, I would say, Thursday, so you got a little bit of time if you want to drop us a voicemail, a text message, a tweet, a direct message, any of that. We'll try to get to all of your questions in the next couple of days. 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com